O Christ, in Thee my soul has found, and found in Thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. Number 19. O Christ, in Thee my soul hath found, and found in Thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. He sighed for rest and happiness. I yearn for them, not they. But while I pass my Savior by His love laid hold on me, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters filled. E'en as I stood to drink, they fled and mocked me as I willed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. The
Let's pray. Blessed Let's sing another hymn, number 23 on the hymn sheet. Behold, behold, the Lamb of God. On the cross for us he shed his precious blood. Behold, behold, the Lamb of God. On the cross, for us he shed his precious blood. On the cross, oh, hear the overwhelming cry, Eli, Lama, Sabachthani, draw near and see the Savior die on the cross, I'd like to turn to a verse in the book of the Acts and the 20th chapter to begin with this evening. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. The Apostle Paul is speaking here and he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to use this as my text this evening in speaking out the gospel. Two things that are necessary for salvation. Paul preached them. We want to preach them this evening as well. Number one, repentance toward God. Number two, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Both things are extremely important if you are going to know what it means to be saved. Repentance, you cannot be saved without it. We heard about it last evening. We heard about the prodigal son this afternoon, how he was minded to get all he could from his father and to go as far away from his father as he could get. That was his mind. That was his thought, and he put it into action. And he went down further and further away, deeper and deeper into misery, until the scripture says he came to himself. There was a change in his thinking. He repented. Repentance means that, a change in your way of thinking. His thoughts were no longer after that moment of going farther away from his father. No, his thoughts were changed. He said, I will arise and go to my father. That's repentance, my friend. Without repentance, there is no salvation. But repentance in itself does not save the soul. What saves is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture clearly states in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's faith that is the living touch that reaches out to say, that Savior is my Savior, and that's the way you can be saved. Remember, those two things, we're going to speak about it in several examples that the Scripture speaks of to us this evening. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Both things extremely important if you are going to know what it means to be saved. Without repentance, you cannot be saved. But again, I repeat, repentance in itself does not save. What saves is faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before I enter into that, I want to speak objectively about the person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. God tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 3, that by Him all things were made, and without Him nothing that is made was made. He is the Creator of all things, the blessed Son of God. He made you, and therefore you are ultimately responsible to Him. We're not going to enter into arguments and debates about origins here this evening. Our purpose is simply to present the Scriptures. We have no right to make any apologies for what God has to tell us. And like it or not, believe it or not, this is what God says. Since you are a creature of God, you are going to give an account to Him ultimately. God made all things, and He knew exactly how things were going to go. God is a God of love, And God wanted to show His love. And God permitted that man fall into sin. And that man would go into distance from Himself. And God became a seeker and went right after His creature. When Adam sinned and hid himself amongst the trees of the garden, God came after him and said, "Adam, where art thou?" Where are you tonight, friend? What is your relationship to God? I'm not asking you, what do the brethren think about you? I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, what is your relationship to the God to whom you must give an account one day? To the God before whom all things are open and naked? To the God before whom you cannot hide one thing? What is your relationship to Him? And the Lord Jesus, in the process of time, became the Savior of the world. He came to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Think of it, my friend. God Himself became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus and came to seek the lost ones. He not only came to seek them, He came to save them. But to save them, there was an extremely awful price that had to be paid. There was blood necessary for the forgiveness of sins. Blood must be shed if God was going to save. His righteous demands against the sinner must be fully met. God cannot pass over one little white lie. It's serious in His eyes. And therefore, when Jesus came to seek and to save, He paid the price in full by going to that cross Himself on Golgotha's hill outside of Jerusalem. They led Him out there. They nailed their Creator to a cross and lifted that cross up and mocked Him. There He hung for 3 hours, the object of the ridicule of His creature, man. Think of it, friend, think of it. When He was suffering, when they were pounding those nails through His hands and His feet, the only response was, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." After those 3 hours, when men did their worst to Him, the heavens got dark, and darkness covered the earth, and in 3 hours of darkness, when no human eye could see what was transpiring on that hill of Golgotha, God laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus, and God punished Him for me. Friend, that's how much God loves. That's the kind of God we have to tell you about tonight. God is a loving God. He does not want you to go to eternal damnation. And as we have said many times before, God has roadblocked the road to hell with the cross of Christ. If you will go to hell, you will go by the loving, tender entreaties of a Savior God who died that you might have eternal salvation. How dare you wait any longer when He pleads for you tonight to come to Him? Jesus died. His side was pierced. The blood flowed from His side. And Scripture tells us clearly, as we heard last night as well, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus was buried. He rose again the third day, and Jesus is a living, risen, powerful Savior at God's right hand. We present Him to you tonight, powerful to save. Nothing on your part necessary but repentance and faith in Him. But I want to probe tonight. Please, can I have your attention? I want to probe. I feel very how serious a meeting like this is. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have a parable, a likeness of the kingdom of heaven. And in that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told, He told about five foolish virgins and five wise. There were 10 in all, because we are responsible before God. But of that number, 10, half were not real. And this is serious, extremely serious. Are you real tonight with God? There's been too many that have sat in meetings like this without being real before God. You put on a front. And our desire is to awaken you before it's too late and you find yourself on the outside of that closed door knocking. Down in Bolivia, maybe I've told this story to some of you. 2 years ago at a conference in Montero on the eastern side of the Andes Mountains. After the conference, a young man came up, and I've known him since he was a young boy. He grew up coming to the meetings. He made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. He was baptized. He broke bread. And then after a time, because of economic conditions in Bolivia, he went down into Argentina, strayed, and got into all sorts of things. But he was back at this conference. He had married, and they had a little boy, I think. But he came up to me and he said, I'd like to talk to you in my house after the meeting tonight. And I went over there that evening and he said, I want you to know, I broke bread, I was baptized, but I wasn't saved. And tonight I want to get saved. I want to get it straightened out. You know, I think there's far, far too many, even here present this evening, that are in that class. I don't know who you are. You know who you are. God knows who you are. And may you be singled out in the presence of God tonight. Please, we're saying it for your own eternal welfare. Wake up. Don't tread a step further under the banner of a false profession. You may have all the brethren fooled. You don't fool God. He knows just where you stand tonight. There have been those who have actually occupied the pulpits at some of our conferences, who today I have to say I don't know if they were ever a Christian. They preached, but that means nothing if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And I say, friend, that's why I think it's so important that you let me probe your soul tonight. Two things are necessary if you're going to know what it means to be saved in the truth of the word saved, gloriously saved, repentance toward God. There needs to be a change in your way of thinking. A lot of us, thank God for the Christian homes we've been brought up in. I had that. That was my privilege. But I must say, as I grew up, I didn't think I was that bad. I'd never gotten out into the real messy stuff of the world. I thought I was all right. Sure, I knew the Bible, what it said. Yeah, I knew it said in my flesh, I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. But really, way down in the depths of my heart, I wasn't convinced of that. There had not been repentance yet until God dealt with my soul to show me what I really was. Oh, friend, have you repented tonight? God doesn't ask you merely to repent. The Scripture says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, giving assurance unto all men and having raised Him from the dead. He commands you to repent. What are your thoughts about yourself? We've been hearing a lot about self-esteem, and the world is full of it. If that's your thought, I want to ask you to repent, to change your thoughts about yourself tonight, to see yourself as God sees you, a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. That's the picture God paints. It's not a very pleasant picture, but I'm not permitted to change the picture that God paints, and I'm not going to apologize for it. This is the reality you must face if you're going to be saved. And this is a pretty bitter pill to swallow. I'm talking to you who say you're Christians. I'm talking to you who are baptized. I'm talking to you who may even break bread. I'm talking to you. Don't think you're looking over your shoulder at somebody else, it applies to them. I'm talking to you. Search your soul in the presence of God. There was one of the Lord's own disciples, the number of the 12, who was a traitor, who was false, and nobody seemed to know it. When the Lord said, one of you shall betray me, they all looked around, who could it be? And maybe nobody guesses that you're not real with God yet. Friend, now's the moment to get serious with God, to repent in truth. I want to talk about three persons in Scripture briefly. The first one, it says he repented himself, but it was not a true repentance, and neither was there faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one, Scripture actually says he believed and was baptized, but there was no repentance upon believing. And that man, as far as we know, is in a lost eternity. And the third case I want to look at is one who repented, evidently, according to the record that we have of him. And he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, for the first case. We're talking about Judas Iscariot. I'm sure many of you have already guessed who the first individual is. One who had accompanied 3.5 years the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry, had heard those gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. But Judas, as happens with many, had a love of money. The scripture tells us in John chapter 12 that he was the one who carried the bag. He was the treasurer, you would call him, of the 12 disciples, and he carried the money that they were given evidently and needed to buy bread or something. And he was a thief because he took what was in that bag for his own pocket. Judas loved money. Before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, one day they were at Bethany where they made him a supper, and all seemed so wonderfully in order. Mary comes with an alabaster of very costly ointment and breaks that alabaster box and anoints the feet of Jesus. Beautiful act of Mary. Judas starts complaining. He says, "That was a waste. Why did you waste that?" And all the other disciples kind of joined in with Judas's complaining. And they made it hard on Mary until the Lord Jesus defended her and said, "Let her alone. She's worked a good work upon me. The poor have you always with you, but me have not always." Judas couldn't stand that. He was a thief, and he loved money. And he had a plan contrived in his mind. He had evidently seen the Lord Jesus when many times they came to take him. And the Lord Jesus had calmly walked, because his hour had not yet come. He walked out of the trap and walked away from his enemies that come to take him. And Judas probably thought, we don't know for sure, but he probably thought, "I'll sell him. I'll make an agreement with those chief priests that want to get him. And then I'll have the money in my pocket and he'll walk out of that situation and I'll have the money and no one will ever know it." You know, if there's a secret sin in your life, I don't know what it is. It may be the love of money. It may be other things. There's so much looseness and promiscuity in today's world. And sometimes we take up with it without thinking of the seriousness of what sin is in the sight of God. Even young people at conferences sometimes are pretty loose in their habits. I don't know. I have no reason to say that I know that about anyone here. But if that is the case, remember, if you allow some secret sin in your life, Satan is the one who can come and take control of you and lead you with that secret sin where you don't think to go. Just as a horse is led by a bridle in its mouth where it doesn't want to go, so you will be led by Satan through means of that secret sin in your life. And that's why we're calling you to repentance toward God. Change your thoughts about that love of money. It didn't work. Judas's plan didn't work. He sold Jesus. And when he came, Jesus came out to meet them in the calmness that was always his during his lifetime. And he says, "Whom seek ye?" And Judas was standing with those armed men that had come to take him. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "I am." They go backward and fall to the ground. You would think Judas would wake up as to who he is betraying. But no, he's determined, he's bent, because Satan had indwelt him and entered into him to make sure that he didn't cop out on his plan to sell Jesus. He goes up to Jesus. "Hail, Master," he says. He kisses him. They come and take him. Judas probably faded into the background, waiting for Jesus to get away again, as he had often done. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And Judas, it says, repented himself. Verse 3 of chapter 27, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he, Jesus, was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." Awful, awful end for one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Awful end. That money, when his plan didn't work out like he thought, was only something that tormented his conscience. And Judas, it says, repented himself. It wasn't true God-given repentance, for if it had been true God-given repentance, he would have returned to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus would have forgiven him. But it wasn't true God-given repentance. He just felt bad because it didn't work out. And sometimes, friend, your plans won't work out for you. And you may be filled with remorse as well, like Judas was. But unless you truly repent and come to Jesus in faith in Him, you will not be saved. Poor Judas is in hell tonight. He's been there, as far as we calculate from our vantage point, almost 2,000 years in hell. One who companied with the Lord Jesus. Is there somebody like that tonight here? Who has some secret sin? Who nobody has detected? That they're not real, but because of that secret sin in your life that you are hiding, Satan has control over your life. I don't know what it is. I've seen sometimes in South America young men who show interest and make profession of faith in the Lord Jesus because they want to marry some girl that's there present. I don't know if that's the case with anybody here tonight. If it is, I want to ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to repent. Get serious with God. Your sin, your hidden sin, will take you to eternal perdition. And God, who loves you and doesn't want you to go that route, has permitted for you to be here tonight to listen to His entreaties in the gospel. Repent. Believe tonight in the Lord Jesus. Poor Judas, there he is tonight. Is that going to be your end, friend? Let's turn over to the book of the Acts, chapter 8, to see the next case that I spoke about. Acts chapter 8. This man was called Simon. He was a sorcerer. Philip had come down to the city of Samaria to preach Christ. Many were saved. Let's read in chapter 8 of the Acts and verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in that same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and were baptized, they were baptized, both men and women. When then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." Here's another sad situation of a man who was a sorcerer in the city of Samaria, and he had been a great one. He had wielded power in that city. They looked upon him and said, "This is the great power of God." But a greater power came to Samaria, the power of God and the gospel of Christ. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when Simon saw that there was a greater power, he saw that he in his position was eclipsed by this greater power. So he joins the movement. He believes. Scripture says it. Look at verse 13. Simon himself believed, and was, when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. He believed and was baptized. You can imagine what they might have said. "Have you heard the news? Simon the sorcerer believed. He's saved." Was he saved? He wasn't saved. Doesn't believing bring salvation? It brings salvation when there is repentance toward God. Yes. But Simon had never repented. He was a great one as a sorcerer. Now he wanted to be a great one in the church of God. Is there anybody here that wants to be a great one in the church of God? There's one word we have for you tonight. Repent! Repent. What a solemn thing. Simon comes up to Peter and John. Philip doesn't seem to discern about Simon. But when Peter and John come down from Jerusalem, here comes Simon the sorcerer. He sees this tremendous power that's displayed by the apostles. And he goes up and offers him money. Says, here, give me that power too so that I can do the same things you're doing. Peter turns and rebukes him directly. He doesn't make it easy for Simon the sorcerer. He says, thy money perish with thee, for thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Simon never repented. Have you repented? So Peter tells him very directly in verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Those were hard words for Simon the sorcerer. But we have no record that Simon the sorcerer repented. We have no record that he was saved. For as much as we know from the record of Scripture here, Simon is in a lost eternity as well. He believed. He was baptized. He's in a lost eternity. You see, friend, why I say you cannot play around with God about sin. That sin in your life, there must be repentance. You must see things as God sees them. And when God says you are a lost, guilty sinner, and that sin will bind you, you must accept God's testimony. There is no alternative if you want to be saved. That's repentance. Which way are you going now? You dear children of Christian parents, allow me to probe into your heart. Have you repented of your sins? Those things you know God is not pleased with. Those things that you kind of excuse because they're not that serious according to your way of thinking. Repent. Tonight, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way for you to be saved. Go over to the 16th chapter of Acts for the last case. Here we have a well-known story, but I'm going to briefly tell the circumstances that lead up to it. The apostles, Paul and Silas, are called to Philippi, one of the chief cities of Macedonia in the upper part of Greece, to preach the gospel. They go. For a time there seems to be not too much activity. There is following them to where they go to pray a girl who has a spirit of divination. And she calls after them, these are the servants of the Most High God which show unto us the way of salvation. And Paul, discerning it to be an unclean spirit, turns around and rebukes the unclean spirit, and that girl is freed from that spirit of divination. But the people of the city rise up against them. They catch Paul and Silas. They beat them severely. And they take him to the prison. And notice, the prisoner, or the jailer, It says in verse 24, who, the jailer, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Romans were not known for humaneness to prisoners. They were known for cruelty. And after they had beaten the apostles, they're committed to this jailer. And you can imagine how he shoved them into the inner prison and jammed their feet into the stocks. And there they are, these poor apostles, suffering. Until at midnight, they pray and sing praises to God. And the impossible situation that they seem to be in, God intervenes. Let's read it here. Verse 26 of Acts 16. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Here we have the record of the Philippian jailer. He had treated those poor apostles in their sorry state roughly. But when God gets a hold of a person, things change. And God shook that prison. All the doors sprung open. All the bands that were holding the prisoners there were loosed. They were all loosed, the prisoners. The jailer recognized immediately the peril there was to his own life. Because, according to the Roman law, it was, if any prisoner escaped, it was the life of the jailer for that prisoner. He knew that his life was at its end. And to avoid the embarrassing situation of having allowed prisoners to escape, he pulls out his sword, going to end it all for himself before he has to stand trial for letting those prisoners go. And Paul in time says, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he calls for a light and comes in trembling. He had repented. What a change in that man. There was a change. There was repentance. He was not thinking of making those men suffer anymore now. It was a complete about face with that jailer. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He had no interest in salvation before that had happened, but now he wants to be saved. Now he realizes that he might have to appear before God if his life is taken away. My friend, you may have to appear before God yourself, and sooner than you realize, your life may be snuffed out. You have no guarantee of your life. I plead with you to consider seriously the consequences of putting off the matter of your salvation. Repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way to be saved. And I say, and there are many here tonight that join with me to say it as well, to each one of you who haven't settled the matter yet, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repent, believe. Before I close, I want to think I've told this story to a number here, but I must say that it was something that shook me to the very core of my being. When we lived in Bolivia, when we first moved there, we built a house in the city of Montero. We contracted a man to build it for us, and he subcontracted a man who was a professing believer. He was baptized. He was breaking bread. He even went along with me on some of my visits with other brethren to outline little meetings out in the jungle areas. I didn't doubt the sincerity of his faith. Many of those believers are very simple in their faith. But after the job on our house was completed, he went off into a different place and I lost track of him completely. His name was Jaime Martinez. After about 3 or 4 years, I met him in a marketplace and I said, "Where have you been?" He says, I'll be back to the meetings. But of course, I didn't see him in the meetings. But in the city of Montero where we lived, they have little motorcycles that they use as taxis to take people around. And we began to hear that these motorcycle taxiists were appearing dead here and there. Nobody seemed to know who was doing it. Until one day they found a man with a bullet through his head outside of the city. But it hadn't killed him. The bullet had gone around the skull. And he was picked up and brought into the hospital and recovered and told who it was. It was Jaime Martinez. And he confessed to having killed 12 people. He was taken into custody. So greatly was the people of Montero incensed against him that they mobbed the jail and they had to call in the army unit and hold them off, and they took him off to a different prison. Since at that time there was a military regime in power in Bolivia, they don't feel it necessary many times to give persons like that a trial. And under pretense of doing an investigation, they took Jaime out into the jungle to where he had said he had sold one of the stolen motorcycles. And they kind of let him loose, and he started escaping, and they called to him, and he didn't stop, and they pulled out their pistols. And Jaime Martinez went into hell. I tell you, my friends, I don't know what to think, but I remember somebody said they heard him speaking over the radio, and he only vowed to do that much more again if he got loose. No repentance, never had been. And it really just stirred my soul to the very depths to think, I broke bread with a man who's in hell tonight. You're breaking bread, you think you're all right, but have you repented? Are you serious with God? Or are you trying to hide some sin in your life? With all my heart, with all our hearts, we who are truly the Lord's plead as ambassadors in the name of Christ tonight. Repent. Be reconciled to God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father.